Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to Post-Match Raw. I have a win to talk about, and I am fully blaming this man, Stephen.
We did a win.
Continues.
We did a win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But before we get into the game, I'm sure everyone has seen now, and hopefully you have as well, Stephen, but the BBC studio and their sex noises in the studio. I think this deserves at least 45 minutes, because that was the best piece of television I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God, Gary Lineker looks so annoyed. He looks so annoyed. I think Danny Murphy has no emotion, does he, at all? Like,
no.
He just sat there so emotionless. Unless Danny Murphy was so emotionless because it was a sex video involving him that was being played.
Well, if it was him, it was making some weird noises. it looks like someone taped a phone to one of the chairs, so it'd be someone taking the piss. I bet it was She-Ra. It's definitely She-Ra. He was probably pissing himself on the gantry, because that was... As soon as that happened, nothing could have brought down the mood, because that was fantastic. Oh, what a piece of television. It needs to happen more often.
Just watching Gary Lineker getting more and more and more annoyed. I was like, they're just talking rubbish. Poor Paul Ince was getting picked on for being not very smart. And suddenly he looked smarter than the rest of them because he could annoy. He just wasn't bothered by him. He was so annoyed.
That was class. Good times. The comedy continued because basically as the first whistle went, we also had a blackout as well because there was a power cut in Wolverhampton, which was clearly Gags' fault. So it's one of them days. We might as well start with the starting 11, which I will get up in front of me now. As we know, Stephen, the starting 11 has always been a source of dread this season because it loads up and you see players you don't want to be in there. And today I think, maybe Milner aside, but I think it's understandable considering the form of our right back at the minute, I think that team's basically as good as it was going to get. I think it was exciting, had a nice mix of youth and experience. Maybe overplaying Thiago a smidge is a worry, but first team for me, I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I think it was a really, really sensible lineup. And as you said, apart from Grandpa Milner, and I think he probably was the only real option, but I thought it was quite a balanced team as well. I think Joe on the left next to Konate, hopefully if they play together, they can learn to talk to each other and how to defend. But I thought it was a reasonable back four. It was a midfield worth getting excited about. And Harvey playing as a forward, not a centre midfielder, doing what he did when we bought him and what he's good at. You know, so it was, I was quite happy with the lineup.
Yeah, as I said when I was doing it, it's a bit strange because we've got so many injuries in the forward line. You see a relatively inexperienced forward line of, well, Gakpo's experience, but not at our club or in this country. Elliot's not really played that position, and Carvalho's not really played left wing for us that much either. So it's a very strange, but it felt right at the time because you don't want to overplay Mo. Ox isn't really a left wing option anyway, and Darwin's not quite ready to come back seemingly at the weekend. So yeah, I'm happy with the team, man.
And I think it made sense, right? Like, because Harvey Elliott needs to play further up the field with space around him, which he doesn't get in the midfield three. And Fabio just needs minutes.
Yes.
Like, he just needs to get on the pitch and have a chance to run around and try and do something. And he's smart enough to play what is out of position for him and do a, you know, a reasonably good job. And, you know, Gakpo just needs to get used to his teammates.
Yeah, so, we'll probably come back to Gakpo because it's a bit of a... I think he's kind of getting discussed for non-footballing reasons because we spent money on him whilst there's other issues in the squad. But we'll come back to Gakpo. But yeah, it was a bit of a strange one. But him as a nine could be something we see long term. But we'll come back to it. But the Wolves team, just to go for it, Jose Lembisa? Bikisa. Let's go with that. Collins, Totti, Johnny, Traore, Moutinho, Neves, Hodge, Itnuri, and Jimenez. So they've got a bit of a mix as well. So probably a few more youngsters in there, but they were probably more rotated last week, if anything. So probably stronger than them than the last game. But the game starts off, obviously we get like 2 minutes before the blackout, if that. They start off quite well. But it's a bit of a tight game, Stephen. And I think that might be a good thing at the minute because I can't remember what the exact stat is, but isn't it like 15 out of 28 games, something like that, 15 out of 28 games we've gone behind first this season. So being a tight game, I don't really mind.
Yeah, I thought what Klopp's known for, right, coming out of the blocks, trying to play like intense football straight away, we're obviously nowhere near that at the moment. So just a sort of calmer, considered start to the game. I didn't write down the minutes, all the notes from the first sort of 15 minutes because I was, as I said before, I was a bit distracted. But like the ball coming to Gomez and Gomez just telling him to calm down and slow down and not rush things. And he did that a few times today. I think just slowing it down and just waiting for opportunities, waiting for Wolves to make mistakes, mm-hmm. give us some space was what we needed to do rather than just hopelessly pump the ball up to Gakpo and hope. So, yeah, I didn't mind the start. You know, it was, some people could determine that the first half was fairly boring, but I think it's probably, I think we needed a bit of boring James Milner today, so it was fine. Like, it wasn't offensive or bad. It was just a slow, steady building into the game, wasn't it?
I love a bit of boring.
Yeah.
It's better than being shit.
I think we would all take like a second half of the season of boring 1-0s, wouldn't we?
Oh, God, just not conceding first every game would fucking deary me. It do me absolutely, Jesus. But as you say, I mean, it was a bit boring, so I'll jump straight to the goal and then maybe we'll talk a bit more generally about some of the positions on the pitch. I think Harvey Elliott, we mentioned, playing in the forward line, gets the ball from deep, we break. Elliott finds a good amount of space. James Milner, of all people, overlapping, which is not something he should be doing, not at his age. But Harvey Elliott, a lovely strike from goal, which feels like the first outside-the-box goal since Gerrard was here. I know that's wrong, but it does feel like that at times. Don't know what their keeper's doing, but it is really nice to see Elliott have some space to operate in and basically just have a go. Because we're not seeing that from our team this season. Just have a go now and again. Always has to be a perfect goal or basically nothing. It's, but having, seeing a youngster just have a bash from 25, 30 yards out, if that. It's just a good goal to see. And so that's probably the most promising I've seen from Elliott this season. Obviously, it's more a natural position and I think he has been scapegoated a bit in terms of the midfield stuff. He is an issue, but he's not the issue there. But it's nice to see him have freedom, and then you see him score a goal like this. Just a really nice moment for a lad who obviously cares to the absolute fucking max about this club.
Are you that person who has everything? The coolest merch and those must-have fan threads? Well, over at our Anfield Index shop, we've gone that extra mile when it comes to pimping up your Liverpool collection. From our popular range of bespoke design t-shirts, sweaters, hoodies and hats, to our signature edition mugs, prints and coasters, all provided with fast worldwide shipping. We have something for every red. We also stock official LFC merchandise and are licensed with the Premier League and UEFA to sell official iron-on shirt badges and sleeve patches. As a listener to this podcast, you can get 10% off everything with coupon code AIPRO10. Just head over to anfieldindex.shop or find us on Etsy by searching for Anfield Index.
Yeah, I mean, just to roll back a minute, is like before the counter where we score, it's Wolves' first proper and probably only decent attempt in the first half. There's a bit of a scramble, they make a mess, yes. and then we hit them on the counter, but we hit them on the counter the way we used to hit people on teams on the counter, methodically, right? So the ball moves out to Elliott in space. And I think the reason I'm such a Harvey Elliott fanboy, and the reason I think he does stand out to me over Curtis, over Fabio, over a lot of young players, is he's just smart. He's not the fastest. We know he's not the fastest, but he's running up the pitch. He's got his head up. He can see the movement around him. He shifts left, he shifts right. The defenders are all... Suddenly there's three defenders. Somehow there are three defenders in front of him, but no one's anywhere near him. Does that make sense? And he takes the shot. And he takes the shot because he's looked around him and there isn't a better option, and he knows he can hit it. You know, he's he's just a smart kid, and to see him being confident, and I know, you know, the interview, he says in the interview, "Mill on a shout shoot," but the fact he took the shot on, some keepers would have saved it, but I think half the reason he took the shot on is he's seen the keepers all over the shop, right?
You'd think so, because that goalkeeper, considering he was really good last season, Jesus, but he must also have been on drug tonight. What the fuck?
There is a bit of movement on the ball, though. It's not a Gerrard thunder bastard, right? There's a lot of movement on the ball, so maybe the goalkeeper's just seen it and gone, oh, and then kind of like, you know, flapped and fallen over. But the important thing was he made the right decision. Like, wonderful finish, but the idea was that there is space. The goalkeeper's not in the right place. There's no one to pass the ball to, and I know I can do it. And we just need, we need to see him given more opportunities in the front line, because when there is space, he does make great passes, he does take good shots, he does make good decisions. And I think his decision-making more than anything makes up for his perceived sort of, you know, his lack of pace, and not perceived, he isn't the quickest, but he's also perceived to be not particularly strong, and I think he probably is quite strong for his size. So I thought it was a very welcome goal from a player that we all want to see do well and playing in a position that suits him. So... And to be honest, we'll probably come onto it, but when he went back into midfield, we got a bit crap because it's not his position. So, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll definitely come on to the substitutes now that changed the game.
It was a bit of a worldie there, wasn't it?
A bit, yeah.
Because there was just that nice, as soon as he hit it, you're like, that's going in. And it almost went in slow motion.
The thing is, so when we were watching, we didn't see where the goalkeeper was, and on the replay, you're like, where the fuck's the goalkeeper? he's on a one, but no, it is really nice. It is really nice. No, as you say, with Moore not being Moore, maybe we need to tinker more and have Elliott play out there a bit and try and get more involved other ways. But I wouldn't mind seeing more of Elliott in his more natural position, and then maybe move Moore narrower, which we obviously saw in the second half, which it didn't really come to anything, but...
No, but it gives us options, right?
It does.
We can go to a 4-2-3-1 and play Mo through the middle, or Mo is the 10, which I know Cy Brundish likes the idea of. I've heard him say enough times. We can bring him on if Mo's not playing well or Mo's tired, or we just want to change the way we're playing and have someone running at people with a different style of running. I don't know, the different style of playing. Or we can occasionally rest Mo and be like, do you know what? Let's give Harvey 55, 60 minutes. And we know we can bring on Mo if we need him. Like, if he can get enough games to prove value as someone who can start 10 to 15 games on that side, I think it'd be a massive relief to that front line. And he just, Mo's currently our creator, right? And if Mo isn't creating, and with Transform, no one's creating. So why don't we get the most creative young attacking player and give them a chance? And because look what happens. Sometimes they score goals and they win man of the match, and they're generally just really good and really pleasing. And was a positive of a boring game. I'd rather have a boring game and a few highlights of one or two people than the chaos of this season.
Yeah, and maybe the main reason it was a boring game, Stephen, and we've kind of got a question that comes into this area of the pitch from Sandeep in the chat. And if you can hear my dog snoring, I can't do anything about that. Sandeep asked, do we think Klopp has had the penny finally dropped that we need changes? So this will bring me on to the midfield, because I think most people would agree this is where we need changes, whether it's internally or transfer market, but that ship's probably sailed or is sailing, or basically it's a shipwreck at the minute. But, Stephen, we did see with Naby, with Stefan Bastic, there are options within the squad. Obviously, Thiago's fucking fantastic, but them two came in and put on a really... not exciting, maybe from Bastic because he's 17, not exciting, but competent is the baseline that we need. And they were just competent all game.
But also, we had three footballers who could run. I know Thiago doesn't run very fast, but he actually, like this season, he's had to put himself around a lot because the people playing alongside him haven't been very good. And today he looked energised because Naby just didn't stop moving. And it's going to be really sad seeing Keita leave because he did nothing spectacular today, but he also was just a running menace. You know, for the Elliott goal, Naby's charging through the middle, right? He's running straight through the lines to get into the box and taking a defender with him. It's what you want to see the midfielders doing. I can't pronounce his name, Bastic. Just, again, full of energy, didn't overcommit himself. Looks like he can turn around in less than 25 minutes. I think if we see Klopp playing that midfield at the weekend, then we know he's starting to realise that change is afoot. And no one knows why Henno didn't play today. And when Fab came on, he just looked stiff.
He did, but the
he looked like he had a plank of wood glued to his back.
The only excuse I'd make for Fabinho, not for the whole season because he's been fucking dreadful, but today, the entire game state had changed. They were getting more desperate. They were whacking centre-backs up front. He was playing in midfield with Naby, who knackered Elliott at times, and then I think it swapped, and Jones was there. So he didn't really come into the game whilst it was at a neutral state. It was desperate Wolves trying to push as many men forward. So I thought he wasn't great, but it was a different state of the game.
We'll come on to it later, right? But my comment wasn't aimed about how well he played. It was more about, like, physically, I think we've broken him.
Yes, that's a different
point. And we're playing, you know, a young, probably, I think he's probably played more of as an eight the last few seasons, and he's played a bit of centre-backs in the 21s or 19s. But he's tall. He's got a bit of movement about him. He always looks confident and composed. There is something about kids that come through Spanish academies, right, with the ball at their feet in midfield. And he did the bare minimum, and he did the bare minimum well. He did nothing spectacular. He just did his job. He was, and it probably helped having like Thiago there, right? Because he knows if I fuck around, then this guy's going to tell me off. And I thought he was good. And as you said, not spectacular, didn't do anything particularly interesting apart from an absolutely beautiful turn at some point in the game. I think that's the second half, isn't it? But yeah, I think he did well. And Naby was just the quiet version of Naby, you know, like the 6.5, 7 out of 10, but constantly moving, closing players down, just being full of energy. And you know, we've all talked about this on Discord and WhatsApp, right? The thing that's frustrated so many of us with the midfield and with Klopp, not, you know, we perceive him as being too loyal. He's now saying he's not. But Hendo has lost his legs and just shouts at people. Fabinho just looks stiff and out of shape. And it might be a form, it might be a fitness thing, but he looks like on a physical decline. And then Thiago's having to do too much work alongside those players. I'm sorry, but Harvey's just not a midfielder. It doesn't suit his game, especially when he has to play with Thiago. It's not a big midfield. So just seeing two other players playing alongside our world-class midfielder and just doing good jobs, which means the players around them looked better, was a positive. And hopefully, as you said, the question was, do you think Klopp will finally realise change as a foot?
What do you think for Chelsea? That's probably the best way of answering it. Yeah. Do you think the corpses will come back in for Chelsea?
I mean, I think at least one of the corpses will come back in. I hope neither of them do. As I said, I would like to see these three starting the next game. And then you bring on Hendo and Fabinho to sit out the game if he really wants them on the pitch. But just by having people who can and want to run made a massive difference, because Wolves didn't really... I know the game was boring because they didn't really do anything. And it felt more like the midfielders was focusing on not making mistakes. So
the thing is, you mentioned not making mistake, but the press was back. Not to its absolute best, but we saw it highlighted when Jose Sa had to kick the ball out for a corner.
But Harvey can press if your midfield isn't all over the fucking place.
Well, that's what I mean. But yeah, I think we saw Elliot before that moment do Lallana stuff where he's running about closing down, which is admirable, but as a system, it's not what it was.
But he was also quite mature, because later in the second half, Naby overlaps with Harvey and the ball's on the left-hand side of the pitch. So he just drops back into midfield because Naby's further up the pitch. Yeah. And I can't remember where Milner was, but we all know he can't run very fast. So he's made a smart, sensible decision of there are lots of players forward. I'm going to let him overlap, do his thing. And then as soon as we lost the ball, Naby drops back into midfield and Harvey pushes up again. So I just think there was more coherence, wasn't there, between the players. And again, Mo and Trent and Naby at their best had some good coherence. But right now, Trent's struggling, Mo's struggling, Naby isn't playing, so I thought that was a positive for today. Just as you said, like, the press can work when your midfield are disciplined and do their roles, but also if they do push up, your forwards are disciplined and do their roles, which they did today.
Well, that's the thing. I think the thing on the press is maybe it is just a physical issue. We see Naby playing almost not as a number 10, because he was dropping as an 8 at times, but we've seen other midfielders play that position and they can't press. Maybe it's because the lads behind them can't do the pressing bit either, but we saw Naby pressing high. And Naby's not fast by any means, but he's just intelligent with what he does. Thiago's quite quick-footed, but not rapid. Bacic is a child still. But just the way we were able to contain them, and let's not blow it out the water, this is Wolves, it's not exactly like we did it to Arsenal or Man City this season.
No, but it's a step in the right direction, and that's what we wanted to see, isn't it?
Exactly. And so if we go into Chelsea at the weekend, or maybe more likely the weekend after the next FA Cup game with this team, we need to keep building off this, because if we do Chelsea again and we bring in Fabinho and start Henderson and that twat starts hoofing the fucking ball in every... The relief of not having to watch him hoof the fucking ball is fucking glorious. Jesus Christ. That's another thing.
I think some of it, though...
We didn't hoof the ball once today.
No, and it's... And I think it's not about pace, right? It's not about the midfielders being quick. It's about them being mobile. So today we had midfielders who could turn around, who could shift left and right, who could get up and down, who could go in for a tackle or be press resistant because they've got mobility about themselves still. Whereas Hendo can only run in a straight line now, right? And can't do it very fast. And I hate to say it, but watching Fabinho turn is like watching a cruise ship. And I worked on a cruise ship, and I know how slow those fucking things are. So, as I said, today's just like seeing some players with some energy, some desire to get up and down, and who've got enough mobility to do their jobs. They weren't athletes by any stretch of the imagination, but they all did their jobs, and they were able to cover for each other and move around.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is just mobility mixed with intelligence. And I doubt Klopp will use these three, or even two of the three against Chelsea. I think he will bring back in the two corpses. And obviously Chelsea are fucking shit at the minute as well. So we might win, we might draw, we might lose. But that's the same for every game. But the chances of us having a bad result with them two on the pitch at the minute go up greatly. I'll go with a word I can't say. But it'd just be so annoying if we go back to what hasn't been working.
But also, look at our centre backs today. Joe looked a lot more composed. As I said before, there were moments where the ball came through to the centre backs and he had it at his feet, and he did the hands down motion, the slow down, or he would take an extra touch before passing the ball. So he just looked a bit more composed and a bit more controlled than the Joe Gomez we remember from 2-3 years ago. Ibu was a lot more physically dominant, whether it was winning the ball, whether it was when he had the ball, carrying the ball out of defence, ushering players out of play. Like, he just looked a bit more, again, he looked more towards the player we know. And I think some of that has to come from the fact the midfield in front of them was functioning. You might want to say that most of them got a 6 out of 10 because they didn't do anything spectacular, did nothing wrong. They just did their jobs and did it reasonably well. Maybe a 7 if you want to be generous. But sometimes all you need your midfield to do is that. We won a lot of games just from Ginny and Hendo and Fab consistently 6, 7 out of 10. And we beat teams like PSG because Klopp was like, okay, so these guys are going to do nothing more than a 6 today, but they're going to block those passing channels. They're going to get in the way of the PSG players. And guess what? We got Trent and Robbo, so we're just going to bypass the midfield and go from Trent to Bobby and score goals. So if your midfield's working, your other players around that can work. I know we probably want to talk about second coming of Moreno in Costas, but he was a bit rubbish today, which always makes me sad. But I thought Milner was fine. You know, there was a lovely tackle on just at the start of the second half. Where he tried, I didn't see.
Oh, he pissed through it nearly.
Yeah, he literally tried to cut their. He was playing left wing, wasn't he? Not left back, but they tried to cut him in half and somehow didn't foul him. But he did try to chop him in half, and he came off at 60 minutes before he completely ran out of steam. But I thought that platform of the midfield just being consistent meant the centre-backs could be centre-backs. And I know Wolves aren't great, but they caused us trouble last week, and today they didn't.
Another question leading into the next couple team sheets. What do we do with Trent? Because Milner's Milner, but Trent... I think Trent's improved since the World Cup break, but against Brighton, he got destroyed. So maybe do we give Trent Chelsea and then Milner Brighton and then go from there?
If VVD wasn't injured, I would have said give Gomez Chelsea and give Trent Brighton to get his form up. But we need Gomez to play at centre-half because Matip's falling off. He's falling off of a cliff in slow motion. So I think you're right. I think we have to start... We have to start Trent at the weekend against Chelsea. And if we play that midfield, or at least play Thiago and Keita on the right, that gives a bit more protection and a bit more of a platform for Trent. And maybe Trent's just encouraged to not try and do everything. And then I think against Brighton, we either play Milner or...
Although Matoma against Milner doesn't sound fun.
Or if Ramsey's real.
No, he's not real.
He might be real.
He's not real, though. Have you seen him? I haven't seen him.
No.
Doesn't exist.
So he might be. So Ramsey's real. Ramsey should play.
But do we throw him against Mitoma?
Well, we've got to throw somebody against him. And I think we can't throw. We can't play Gomez.
But Milner,
we can't play Gomez because he'll break. If Milner plays against Brighton, he has to be banned from going past the halfway line.
True, true. Mind, I'd probably ban Trent from going in the half the way he played against him.
Yeah, but to be fair, if we said to Trent, you can't go more than 10 metres past the halfway line, he can still hit a centre-half right on the nose with
exactly.
his crossing.
Just play him at centre-back. Just absolutely.
I think we just need, if we play Trent, we've got to stop this bullshit where he's cutting inside being a 10. He needs to go back to basics and play as a fullback who's allowed
David
to do long sweeping 45-yard crosses and passes from deep.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because if we play that midfield, or we play at least 2/3 of it, there's a better chance that Gomez and Ibu play reasonably well like tonight. And against Chelsea aren't playing very well this year. Mm-hmm. If we can get 6.5 and 7 out of 10s out of Ibu and Gomez, that's probably enough. Because Robbo looks like he's getting a bit of form back. Trent looks like he's slowly starting to go in the right direction again. But the centre-halves will be terrible if we go back to that Fab Hendo, like, legless midfield again.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have 3 podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on eplindex.com. The podcasts are my own Two-Footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that's a thing. It's weird because I don't think Matip's been particularly good this season, especially after the World Cup as well.
He's been pretty rubbish.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just persevere. And I think Konate being able to play on the right helps as well. So maybe just with Gomez and Konate for the time being. Although Gomez, it goes off like a tap whether he's good or bad.
But you know what? I'd rather play Gomez this weekend than rest him against Brighton.
Yeah.
Because he can't play too many minutes, right? He needs his minutes managing.
Very true. Very true. We'll move on from general stuff. Mind, there isn't too much to talk about in the game itself. My only other note from the first half was Milner outpaced someone, then got fouled.
Gakpo had a shot.
Yes. Oh, yes, he did. He shouldn't have shot, but he had a shot.
And then Carvalho was offside by about... I mean, that wasn't even Pippo and Zaghi offside. That was, you know, pulled up a park bench and sat on it offside, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not stupidly against the late flagging thing, but when it's that obvious, just whack your flag up, mate. Basically, that's it from what I've got noted down in the first half. But
no, Costas did one good thing. He did that thing where he picks up the ball and tries to do the Robbo right. So he runs across the halfway line and then cuts inside and keeps running and got fouled. We won a free kick. It wasn't spectacular, but
highlight, this game's very dull.
Exactly, it is a highlight because that's how dull it was. But at least with all of his awful crossing, he did some of the things that we like him for. And then my next note is that Milner trying to destroy Aiton Ehre and missing the player but winning the ball.
That's probably going to be the picture for the show as well because it was fantastic. Half-time then. Wolves bring on some grown-ups. I think they bring on Semedo and Mateus Nunes, future Liverpool players, seemingly.
Nunes looks like Suso, but taller.
That's a good bad sign? Good sign? I don't know.
Sorry, I interrupted you. But I was like, could they sign Suso? I don't know, they're bringing Nunes on.
I don't know how to respond to that. I can't remember if Suso was any good for us. He may have just been too young for us. My first note's not for 7 minutes, and that is the Naby shot, which was dreadful but funny at the same time. So I don't know where to begin with this. Is there anything you want to bring up from that time period?
I don't have anything until the wonderful Bacicic turn, when he tries to be Thiago for a minute. I think Gakpo has terrible finishing. Like, literally nothing happened in that 18 minutes that I can remember.
Yeah, Naby, bad shot. I mean, do you want to talk about Gakpo? Because, again, this game, not much happened, so we might as well do general things. It's a weird one, because we signed Gakpo when everyone was really wanting a midfielder. We've spent the 40 mil, maybe wrongly, but we saw it as an opportunity of a player we wanted, got him instead of a midfielder.
I don't necessarily we spent the money wrongly. I think he was a bit of a Diaz, or we can get him now, somebody else wants him, he's on our list. And, you know, we release our books, don't we? When so much money's in the bank, I don't think we can say because we bought Gakpo, we couldn't buy somebody else. I think they're disconnected. But, yeah, I think it's definitely worth talking about. I was excited to see him start today. I think there's lots of things that, and to start through the middle with Nunes not being around, there are lots of things about his game and about his physique, right? He's, what, 6'4". He's reasonably quick. He can shoot from outside the box. You know, the kind of things that we know Nunes can do that he might not be as good as Nunes for. But I was like, maybe we can mould him into a backup for him because he's very different to Jota. I think Jota, when he'll play through the middle, will be something different.
I think he's very different from Darwin, though. Or did you say Nunes? Did you? They've got two similar names. Did you say Diaz or Darwin? In terms of similarity.
I think Gakpo is very different in terms of how he plays to Darwin, but I can see why they would want to have him as a backup to Darwin's game because of those attributes, right? The fact he's tall, he's reasonably quick, he's got good technique, he can shoot from outside the box, he'll try and involve other players. I think he's not a like for like, but in terms of the other players playing around him, if he's on the pitch and he's playing through the middle, there should be enough where they're able to link up with him reasonably well if he can learn the position. But the more the game went on, I was like, he's not a number nine yet at all, is he?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the only thing I'm judging him on at the minute is almost the lack of spark. And now this is going to sound harsh and pretty basically stupid, but when Darwin joined, electricity straight away, because he's mental. When Diaz joined, obviously he joined he didn't join a perfect situation, because we were dwindling a smidge back at that time, but it was a billion times better situation than Gakpo's joined. But there was a spark instantly that was there. I love this bloke, have my babies, the jazz. Whereas you look at Gakpo, maybe it's because I don't know. And obviously he's playing out of position, as we say, he's not a nine yet. And he's playing with Ox, and everyone up front's injured, and there's no midfield. But I'm just going off what I've seen of Gakpo. There's just no spark, there's no sauce when I see him. You know what I mean?
No, but and I don't think there will be, and that's not necessarily a negative, right? Nunes is a nutcase, that's why, as you probably heard the pod in the summer when we signed him, I was so excited about him. He's got that sort of, you know, Zlatan was a nutcase, Suarez was a nutcase. So many of the great attacking forwards are nutjobs. And it's fun and exciting, and it's something you can get behind as a fan. And I know there's this weird rhetoric, and the fans keep singing, you're just another Andy Carroll or some nonsense, but actually his underlying numbers are pretty decent, and he scored a few goals and got a few assists.
He must have scored more than Andy Carroll already.
Yeah, exactly. I think that fans just want something to wind him up. But I think he's starting to show he's a really good player, but he's going to be an exciting player. Gakpo, for me, is more like those Dirk Kuyt signings, and Dirk Kuyt turned out to be a bit of a legend. He looks like he's going to work hard. He runs very sort of upright and he looks composed when he's moving, right? When he walks and he runs, there's an element of composure about the way he moves. Whereas Nunes has got that sort of chaotic movement that Torres has got, where he's running at people and you're like, oh, what is he going to do? And it's not because Nunes has got better technique. He's just a bit more wild, maybe, with how he will do things. Unpredictability gets you excited, right? Whereas you've got someone who just looks very composed all the time.
I think what we've seen today, certainly he's a player who wants the ball to his feet as well, because I think maybe my, not frustrations, because I think it's too early for that, maybe my question marks over him, he's brand new at the team. We saw Naby try and play through balls to him, and then he's either running late or Naby's not passing early enough. Well, we see that with Naby all the time, to be fair. It can be inconsistent. But there's not that link there, whereas I think if that was Darwin in that situation, he'd just be running in behind. And that is a natural number nine, so I can't really blame him for that.
But this is what I mean, right? He's not a nine yet, but he could be, because he's got some of the physical attributes which would make him a good backup for Nunes.
I think he's more in the Bobby mould in terms of success.
What I mean is he could be developed into a nine, but he's not naturally a nine. And you could see from his running, he was dropping deep today. But when Bobby dropped deep, you'd have other players overlapping. But you're not going to have, and he doesn't know the team yet, but you're not going to have Fabio and
Elliot
overlapping, because they're creative players. You need to lead the line if you're the guy with those two players, right? So I think some of it, he doesn't know his teammates, and some of it, he didn't really play as an out-and-out nine in Holland, right? So he was playing on the left, cutting inside, where he would get the ball to feet to run up defenders, to play in the players around him, or to shoot. So I think it's just, at the moment, it's a bit unnatural to him playing through the centre.
So I am looking forward to seeing him with Darwin, and presumably more on Saturday. Saturday at 12:30, I think, is it?
Yeah, and you know what? There'll be games where we want to rest Murrell. I think him playing, coming in from the left, being a bit more, you know, being a runner, being a bit more creative, being a bit more physically dangerous than Harvey, with Nunes through the middle and Nunes on the right, could be quite exciting as well. Because you've still got your wrecking ball nutcase through the middle, but you've got that more sort of calm, composed, hard-working, smart player on the left, and Harvey given the license to be a bit more of a creator. So I think him playing with Marin Nunes and Harvey and Nunes could be quite fun. Or Jota as well, right? Because Jota's just a poacher.
Jota doesn't exist anymore.
But he's going to be back hopefully soon, isn't he? But Jota having a player behind
him, he's never coming back.
And if he wants the ball to feet, Jota doesn't. Jota wants to score goals. So let him have the ball to feet and he can play it to Jota, and Jota can score the goals. So I think he'll be fine. And I think he was he's a player we were planning to get in the summer. He suits the way we want to change our tactics next season, where we're trying to go, but we're going to buy him now before United do. It's my sort of take on bringing him in. And it'll take time. Like, Fab came in and barely played for 6 months. Robbo came in and barely played for 6 months. Not everyone can be Mo and come in and be instantly the world's greatest right winger. So I think he'll be all right.
No, I agree. I'm just giving my first impressions.
But he's not ready to be the centre forward yet, because he was dropping deep when everyone else was already deep. Or, as you said, he wanted the ball into feet, but there were no runners for him to do anything with. He's then got his back to goal with no one to, there's no one breaking. He was drifted to the left quite a few times. And if he was playing on the left to do it, that's fine, because he's going to have someone through the middle ahead of him. I just think he wasn't used in a way that he's used to. It's not that I don't think he can do it. I just think he doesn't know the role and his teammates yet, that's all.
Yeah, I was just giving my first impressions of him. I'm sure he'll become a very good player. It's just we've just seemingly got instant hits recently. Maybe that's what I'm missing.
Plus, we'll all get a lovely heat map and wonderful article from Sam Maguire when he puts a hattie past Chelsea at the weekend.
All right, Sam's already telling me things in the chat saying I hate Gakpo, which is true. Where are we up to? Basically, my next note is subs, and I didn't actually know. I literally wrote down subs, so now I'm looking at Flash Score to see what the subs are.
Can I tell you who they are?
Yes, please.
So, Marionette and Jones came on for Gakbo, Fab, and Millie.
That is the ones. They also made some changes with Cunha coming on and Pedence coming on. Yeah, this is seemingly where the game changed for the worse for Liverpool. I think this is where they obviously got more attacking. They actually brought on forward players, and we rejigged the team with Jones at left wing, Nat Phillips coming on, etc. And more obviously playing through the middle as well.
Yeah, there are a couple of things post subs I did want to chat about, actually.
Hmm.
Because Nat Phillips is just rubbish, right? He gets a yellow card a few minutes later. But I think suddenly they get their confidence up because they know he's not very good.
It's a bit harsh, but yes. Compared
to the level that we expect from a centre-half, he's not going to bring the ball out. He's not... He's a, you know, C-ball, kick-ball, C-ball, head-ball type
centre-half. A big shithouse.
So I think they felt they could target him a bit more and that we would be a bit less... Because we've had so many shifts, right? Suddenly we've got an unfamiliar centre-half pairing again. But I think the other two things are that just, you know, as we've said a few times, when Fabio comes on, like... He can't run anymore, can he?
Oh, Fabinho.
I've misread my notes. When Curtis Jones comes on for Carvalho, Curtis Jones keeps wandering into the middle of the pitch and into midfield and into the number 10 position, and they start coming down our right-hand side because Costas isn't having the best game. Nat's not particularly great, and Curtis is in the wrong place quite a lot, so he started to look a bit more exposed and they had a lot more space all of a sudden. So I think things definitely shifted when those three players came on.
And to be fair, it's understandably so, as you say. We brought on Jones, who hasn't played since 1995. Moving, Gomez was having a good game on and off the ball in centre-back, and we're moving him to right-back. As you say, Phillips is a, let's call him a Brexit centre-back. He's, as you say, head the ball, big shithouse. So losing composure in the team. Obviously, Fabinho, we've been calling him a corpse all podcast, and he is a corpse, let's be fair. Love the bloke, but a 17-year-old's more useful at the minute, which isn't great. But we'll probably see him back at the weekend.
And like, it was great to see Duke come on, wasn't it, a few minutes later? But the problem with that is...
Call him Duke?
Duke. I can't...
Doak.
Doak, okay, whatever. Terrible names. But when Doak comes on, you're then moving Harvey back into midfield, and suddenly we've got a defensive midfielder who can't run. Nabi has been on... It's his first game of playing 90 minutes in, like, forever.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My LibertyShield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked, and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, mag boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah.
And Harvey playing on the left-hand side where Curtis is going to wander in and Costas isn't having the best of games, and it just sort of went to shit even more, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to be overly harsh on Fabinho when we were discussing towards the start of the podcast, because say we start, I doubt this will be the team, but say we start Fabinho, Thiago and Naby on Saturday, it wouldn't surprise me if Fabinho looks like a human being again. Maybe not to his best, but maybe he'd be able to like cover the amount of limited space he's meant to cover.
He just looked like he'd been strapped on a plank of wood, do you not think? He looks like he's not allowed to bend over anymore.
Might just have a bad back. But the weird thing is, the first couple games we came back from the World Cup, he looked better. So I don't think Fabinho's as finished as, say, Henderson, which may just be completely player bias and that I like Fabinho more and I think he's better, etc. But I think there is still ability in there to run.
I think the difference though is, Fab's still got actual ability as a footballer. He just can't move very much at the moment. Hendo never really had much ability as a footballer, and now he can't run much anymore. He's not running very well. He can only go in straight lines. He's doing that really annoying chipped pass and shouting at everybody. And not giving any protection to Trent. It's literally like having a player playing for the opposition when he's on at the moment. Whereas Fabinho, at least he's still a good footballer. He's just a good footballer who can't move very much, which is a problem. Which is why I don't know, is it all physical decline? Has he got an injury? Is he just taking a while to get back to himself? But I do worry that we've broken him and that he needs to be used sparingly and sporadically. And maybe Chelsea's the right game to play him for 55, 60 minutes. Then when he starts to move like a plank of wood again, we bring on the kid and Stefan can run around. Well, because he's showing himself so composed, he can come on for half an hour and do a job with a bit more energy. And it's terrible that we're having to talk about a 17-year-old coming in for Fab when Fab's, what, 30? Like, this shouldn't be happening.
I think he's actually 29, which makes it worse.
There's something looks wrong with the way he's moving, and I hope it's not permanent.
Yes, hopefully. Maybe you just need to...
You're right, you can't blame him because the entire left side of the pitch falls apart when he's come on.
And that's the thing, Fabinho didn't come on until the 75th minute. So there was like, when was it, 10 minutes? I think the turn had already started before that.
Yeah, because the left-hand side was getting exposed.
Yeah.
Jones is, you know, we kept trying to play him as an 8 and suddenly we're playing him as the left forward. So he keeps appearing in all the wrong places. There were points where you'd be like, oh, he should be tracking that player when Harvey's tackled them. I mean, it's great Harvey's tackled them, but surely that should have been Curtis's job a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he came on to what was already falling apart.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Let's go through some of the last remaining things in the game, because there's not much from a Liverpool point of view. I mean, Wolves have a free kick. I think Neves puts it over, if it's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. Wolves have a chance on the counter-attack, but Naby stops it off. I think it's off our corner, if I remember correctly. Then there's some more subs. I can't remember who.
They should have a corner.
Yes.
But don't get one, which is funny.
Yes, that was on 78. Well defended by Gomez. Then I have Naby being a shithouse when he pretended to be injured and then went on the floor, which was fantastic.
Kev was good. There was a bit of they had a cross with a scramble and the ball, you know, went about a million miles into the sky. And Kev came out and gathered it amongst a couple of players, you know.
Yeah, he didn't have loads to do, but he did it well.
At the end of the game, you know, he did get a fingertip on it was going over, but on Neves' shot as well.
Yes.
I think we've not really talked about him because we didn't have to, but when he had to do some stuff today, I thought Callagher was really good.
No, I'd agree with that. He's not really let us down, especially in the last couple of years, since he's matured a bit.
They bought on the 53-year-old, didn't they?
Diego Costa. He actually set up a chance. I think that was one of their biggest chances. But that was in the 87th minute.
Yeah, it was Cunha, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, let's finish up with a couple more general points. I mean, do you want to talk about Doak? He's obviously, I think he actually is 12. he looks fun. Like, we've obviously had prospects in the past. We've had Ben Woodburn, Cade Gordon, who's obviously been injured, sadly. But this lad looks spectacularly fun.
Like, he does look really good, but I am worried we're going to do what we've done with so many players. We did it with Harvey, but Harvey is coming, breaking through the other side of it, right? But we overplay them and we're too young and we set these expectations far too high. Like we did, like you mentioned, like Ben Woodburn and, you know, talked about Suso earlier. My worry with him is if we give him too much exposure and he doesn't instantly take off, we'll break him, because he does look an exciting player. He looks really positive, right? He picks up the ball and he runs at players. And like, he comes on and pretty much instantly puts a cross in. It's not a great cross, but he did the right thing, just didn't execute it. I thought he was pretty good. I personally don't think he's as good as Harvey on the right-hand side. And I think people calling for him to play loads of minutes rather than Harvey there, I think, is a bit daft. But wouldn't it be cool if when Mo goes, we've already got the right-hand side sorted out with Doak and Harvey? Because he does look like he's got lots of potential. And it's that confidence, isn't it? It's that confidence of youth of, give me the ball, put it in front of me, let me run at people.
In one of my WhatsApp, someone was making the argument, I actually agree with it. Seeing as the Premier League season is basically a write-off, maybe we scrounge top four or whatever, but if we get a few more losses, which is very possible, let's just try and use some of these youngsters.
I know, but like, I'd rather develop, like, at the moment, I'd rather develop Carvalho and...
Yeah, but you can do, I'm not saying start Doak, I'm saying we can give him a good amount of minutes from the bench. Like, let's finally see if Curtis Jones is able to play for Liverpool. Let's give Carvalho a chance in his actual position. Let's play Elliot on the right wing for a bit. But I think if the season's going to be as shit in the Premier League as it is at the minute, let's give Doak 30 minutes in games. Why not?
He's what, 16 turning 17? I just don't think players that... I think it's terrible that we're having to rely on Bacetic, right? He's 17.
It is.
And looks 16, but at least he looks physically a bit more ready for first team football. I would just worry that if we overexpose him, he'll get hurt. And he'll get physically hurt by another player or injured, or the fans will just make up so much hype about him that he won't ever be able to live up to. I get the whole let's play him because our season's going terribly, but if he's playing more than like 7-8 minutes in a game, it's a disaster. I think if Mo's not playing, we need to be developing the players who look more ready. You know, Harvey scored a goal today because he was in a position where he should be. I'd rather see him pushing on at the moment. I'd rather see Doak developed quietly and sensibly and brought in when he's ready, rather than thrown in because we're shit. Which I know is against what all the fans in Discord are saying, but I don't think it's right to play him.
You're boring. Get him straight in. Fucking Chelsea game.
We keep breaking people. We keep breaking players. But you will do when he ends up playing for Milan at 23 and is useless.
You've got to break a few eggs to get a Trent now and again.
Eggs and look really good.
We bought them for 12p. We'll get our money back. Let's finish up. I think we've discussed the midfield quite a lot, and that was probably the big positive. But I'll finish up by talking about Ebu, who every time he plays, apart from the game he came back in, which I can't remember which he was awful in, 38 mil for that bloke is not talked about enough in terms of our bargains.
Looks really good.
Yeah, he's going to be the next best centre-back in the world. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
He looks like an absolutely exceptional player. He sometimes, to me, he still looks a little bit unsure of himself. And I think playing with, which is why it was quite nice to see Joe today being a bit more composed and a bit more mature, because I thought as the game came on, the better Joe was playing, the better Ebu played. It's almost like Ebu plays better off the player alongside him. Hopefully, that can switch around soon, and he can be the player that people play off, as opposed to the one who feeds off whoever he's playing alongside. But I do feel like with Ibu, he feeds off his partner at the moment, and he can't carry another player yet the way BVD can. But he's young, right? So that will come. But I thought he was good. I thought he was good today, and I thought the right hand side when Gomez moved on over to the right, I think he carried on playing reasonably well until, you know, apart from the fact that he had to look after a C-ball, kickball, headball player. So I thought he was a positive. And I think as you said, he's going to be a really, really good player. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And he does that thing that Matip does, doesn't he? Like, Gomez likes to switch the ball out and play the ball out of defence with a nice long pass or a sensible pass like VVD, whereas Ibu seems to like to pick the ball up and carry it. So we do need to have a carrier, and he was good again today. But yeah, I'm finding it really hard to be like, is he just being like a 6-7 out of 10 and just being solid and getting consistent, but we all think he's better because Matip is so bad? Or am I so jaded by the season that he's actually playing much better?
I think it's a bit of both. Because take the Brighton game, for example, the bad Brighton game we just had. The first half, he is literally the only reason we were not 12-0 down. So I think with the team being shit, it's hard to judge a centre-back, but I think he's been spectacular for 99% of his games. Obviously, he's been injured quite a lot as well, which doesn't help, but I think 38 mil for him will be seen as one of our bargains once all is said and done with this group of players. And he'll obviously probably lead on the next group of players, hopefully. But yeah, I think he's fucking phenomenal.
And it'd be nice if the fact he's playing so well means Joe can get back to 90% of his best, right? If we can get Joe consistent and with his head screwed on, we know he's a good centre-back. Him and Virgil at one point were the best pairing on the planet.
Yeah.
He's just forgotten how to play that kind of football again. So hopefully him and Ibu can have a run now until that Virgil's back, and then we'll have two informed players that Virgil can come and play with.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we said it earlier, I'd probably run with Ibu and Joe just because Joe's better on the left and we don't have to move Ibu. So I'd probably run with that for now. But I'm guessing he'll revert back to Matip, even though I do agree. I think he's been a bit poo this season.
Matip is another player I think is cooked.
He can't seem to run anymore.
Mentally cooked rather than physically cooked.
I think he's a bit bored. I think he's lost a step with his injury last year.
Yeah, but, maybe. He was never the quickest, though. But he just doesn't, like, you look at his facial expressions, he doesn't have that joyful, confident John Matip Arms look anymore, does he? He just looks
a meme face.
Yeah, he looks unsure of himself quite a lot at the moment. And I wonder if he is a bit cooked. But yeah, I think Konate was really good.
Yeah, let's not finish on a negative. That's basically all I have. Is there anything you want to mention before we go?
Yeah, just after he gets man of the match, on about the 93rd minute, Elliot makes a nice crunching tackle, wins the corner, and shouts at the assistant referee. And I was like, brilliant. All in one swift moment.
Yeah. Would you agree with Elliot man of the match? I should really finish on that. I always forget to do this.
Yeah, because he scored the match winner. And that's the thing with him, right, is if we give him a chance and play him in the right positions, as he's shown today, he can score match-winning goals. But he's never been given... He doesn't get given the chance to do it. And today he was the match winner, and I think he played really well and really positively, and he deserved it. Had it gone to one of the centre-backs, I'd have been like, they were good, but I think Wolves caused us enough trouble.
I'd throw Naby in there and Thiago.
Thiago would
be fair, yeah.
All three midfielders were really, really good. The difference between them and Elliot is, for a change, the midfield didn't cost us anything.
Yeah.
And Elliot scored the winner. And that's it. He scored the thing that pushes him past everybody else, is he did score the winner and kept playing at least the same level as everybody else.
No, I think that's fair. I think the good thing is we have a handful of people who could have got man of the match rather than just going, he was least shit.
that random moment where Thiago finds himself offside trying to shoot. If he'd actually been onside and scored, you might have given it to him.
Yes.
But, you know, he's a
very
winner.
Right, we will finish up there then. Thank you, Stephen, for joining me. You have kept your, I was going to say, League Cup, domestic cup record intact. So if you're
our
not,
domestic if, cup record intact, guy.
Nah, I bottled it earlier. I bottled it with the League Cup this season, Stephen. I apologise. But that was Dave and Trev's fault.
That's what I mean. It's been when we've been on the pods, normally with Dave or Justin or Lisa, but it's our run.
Yeah. Well, we'll go with that. We'll go with that.
Because when I was on with Nina, last time I was on with Nina, we lost. So I'm saying it's our run, not Nina's run.
It's not our fault, is it? No. But again, everyone, thank you, everyone, especially those listening in Discord. I know it's late for some people. And it's the FA Cup replay, so not loads of people have been interested, but we had a good amount of people listening here. But everyone listening later as well, a big thank you to you as well. I shall return for the Brighton game, which I believe is a week on Saturday. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.